Hey, this is Billy Joel from Green Day, and you're listening to Mabel Syndrome.
It sucks, I still think Mabel, she's the bomb.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome podcast. It is our final episode of January 2018, which means this is episode 10 of season 2, and I'm excited to be here with my co-Mabel, introducing a really amazing interview she did on her own. Hello, my lady, Kristen.
Hey, Jessica. Yeah, later on we're going to talk about the band Mobina Galore and let you know a little bit more about them, and then I have a really rad interview that I did with them, if I do say so myself.
Everything you do is awesome.
No, that is absolutely not true. But this was really fun and really easy to do, so I'm stoked about it. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But how are you, Jess?
I'm good. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. I hope I don't sound terrible. It's like one of those, I work at a school and there's a million germs floating around type colds. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much I wash my hands, it's there. It's mm-hmm. just there. So
yeah, working at a school is the worst.
It is. It's nonstop because kids are dirty humans.
They're gross.
They're just dirty.
Yeah.
And I live with one. I live with one of them. So
yeah,
she brings it home too.
Yeah. The worst part about kids being sick, too, is that they want to cuddle when they're sick. Mm-hmm. At least mine do. So they're like, mm-hmm. oh, I feel terrible. Will you cuddle me and rub me and touch me and kiss me and hug me? And I'm just like, oh, God. Like, and you have to do it because they're your kids and yeah. they're sick and you feel bad for them. But the whole time I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get sick.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, when kids get sick, like, I don't know, as kids get older, they want to cuddle less. And so I have a 7.5-year-old, so when she gets sick and wants to cuddle, there's half of you that's just like, yes, like, slather yourself all over me, because I never get cuddles like this anymore. And then the other part of it, you're like, your head's, like, facing away from them, going, like, don't breathe on me.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
So, do you have snow right now?
We always have snow. But right. it's actually, I mean, it's just the big piles. So, right. you know, like there's not a lot of snow. We had a really warm day and then it melts most of the snow on the roads and the grass and stuff like that. But we still have the huge piles from the plowing and stuff.
Right. See, because I've recently moved back to the island, there's no snow here. And it's the first time in 15 years I've had a winter without snow. And
does it get snow ever?
Yeah, like it snowed, I think, was it yesterday or the day before? But it's just like a dusting and then it goes away.
Because it's kind of like, I don't know, marine temperate, right?
Like, yeah, like we're coastal, right? So it's lots of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the temperature drops at night, we get a little dusting, but then that's it.
So you don't miss like cleaning wonderful. All the snow off your car?
I give zero fucks about winter in other places now. Zero yeah. fucks, because I love being on the water for the winter. It's so yeah. it's so great.
Well, you get to go outside, and I see all your like beach snaps and stuff like that, and you get to be outside on the ocean and even just walking around, and it looks like it's probably cold, like 40s or 50s or something, but at least you can be outside. Yeah. Like literally, I could not go to the I would freeze my ass off if I went to the beach here. There's no way. So,
it's funny because you're coastal as well.
Yeah. New England's really weird, right? Like, people don't get it. So, I have some friends that are from the South, and, you know, it's kind of the same temperature year-round, or it might be 80s and then go into the hundreds or something. But here, it's like, we have such a huge shift. Like, in the winter, it's super, super cold, and in the summer, it gets super, super hot, and people can't believe that it's the same place sometimes.
Yeah.
It's funny our because strange.
Danny Thompson, our producer, our friend, mm-hmm. our mentor, me and him have been Snapchatting, and he has this funny thing that he's been doing, and because he's in California, And every day he goes and walks his dog and he says, guess what? It's a beautiful day. And every day in California is beautiful. We have this like ongoing joke. And I can't imagine living somewhere that's like that, like t-shirt weather all year round. Like occasionally you put on a hoodie.
I would love it. I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be someplace that's warm.
You are. You're definitely a warm girl. I am happy with chilly as long as I'm on the water.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But you like heat.
I can't imagine living in California, though. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, I even applied to colleges in California. I was really, really considering moving there. And I think I was, like, intimidated or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
I was like, I'm not pretty enough to move to California. Like, right?
It's like we all have these preconceived notions of what it's actually like. Or what we think California is like, because it's such a Hollywood movie, you know, thing in all of our minds.
Yeah, right.
But then Danny sends me these snaps and I'm like, yeah, that's what it's really like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like normal people live there all, you know, and it's fine. And it would have been fine. But I feel like I was kind of like, I don't know, too insecure to move there or something. And I'm kind of bummed because I was really considering it. And I think it would have been awesome, but
So I said I give no fucks about...
Yeah, what do you give zero
fucks
about?
Winter
and
other places. I give zero fucks about the fact that there's no snow here and there's no winter, and I give zero fucks about the snow, missing it. Does that make sense? Is that a good... I give no fucks? Does that make sense?
No, because you're saying you give... No. That's not a good one. That's giving zero fucks about other people's bad situations.
Oh, I just laughed so loud in my mic, and I was watching the recording, and it just like spiked so hard. Okay. You go first. I'll think of another one.
Okay, I have one. So I'm in a book club, and
Because you have all that time.
Yeah, exactly. And I love to read, and sometimes it's a good book or whatever, but this time one of the women, and we take turns choosing the book, right? So one of the women chose like a self-help book, and I got two chapters in and I was like, fuck this. I am not reading this bullshit. It was just this woman talking about like how these lessons she's learned in her life and how wonderful it is, and I'm just like, fuck you. I have zero interest in that. So I'm going to go to the book club meeting because there's usually really good food and really good wine. So I'm going to go, but I'm not going to have read the book. And I'm going to get zero fucks about that. No.
No, you're going to be open.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't fake anything, Jess.
I would love to be at that book club meeting where everyone's like, oh, I learned this, and oh, this was amazing, and oh, I'm going to take this lesson with me everywhere, and then it comes around the circle to you, and you're like, I give zero fucks.
Yeah, I didn't even read the fucking book. I read two chapters and gave up.
That's amazing. I love it. Okay, this is what something I could give zero fucks about. Okay. I give zero fucks about the fact that I'm sitting on my bed recording with you. It's 10:30. I'm in my pajamas, braless. And beside my bed is a giant bowl of popcorn that I ate in bed last night. And I give zero fucks that in that giant popcorn bowl is another bowl of coleslaw that I decided was a good idea to make at like 11 o'clock at night and also eat that in bed. And I give zero fucks about it.
Good. Yeah, give zero fucks about that. Do you have
zero fucks?
You must have crumbs in your bed.
I absolutely do. I have to sleep, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but because of my living situation currently, I've been sharing my bed with a 7-year-old for like 6 months, and it's not a very big bed, and it's pretty awful for me, not for her. She loves it, but kids are dirty, and I feel like there's often like sand in my bed, or like gravel, or like crumbs,
goldfish.
And the path to my house is made out of like roofing tiles, like the gritty, sandy ones, like almost like sandpaper.
Oh, Yeah.
So that shit gets tracked into my house, and I often feel like it's in my bed. But, I mean, the coleslaw I ate in bed last night didn't provide any crumbs.
That's true.
So that's what I give zero fucks about. I will that's do my awesome. Dishes, though.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I get, like, I'm really anal retentive about crumbs in my bed because mm-hmm. I sleep with just a tank top and, like, shorts. So if mm-hmm. I can feel the crumbs, like, on my body, you know, and it... Mm-hmm. And then it, you know, keeps me up or wakes me up or whatever. So, yeah.
You're like the princess in the pee.
Yes.
Like where she has like 40 mattresses and she can feel the pee underneath the bottom one.
Right.
I love eating in bed. Yeah. I love it. Eating in bed is like, if you are with me and you do not like eating in bed, it's not going to work out. Because it's one of my favorite places to eat.
Yeah, I totally get that. I had a bowl of Cheerios late last night and I was watching Logan, which is the movie about Wolverine. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, it was actually really good. So yeah, cereal is kind of my go-to late night snack.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Do you have real milk or fake milk on it?
Real milk.
Yeah, because you always have milk in the house for your kids.
Exactly. So and it's whole milk too. It's like,
oh, delicious.
It's basically like eating ice cream.
Yep. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Should we get to... I want to talk about these ladies.
Okay. Yes. This is an interview that you did solo because they came through Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm super excited. So why don't you give a little intro about them?
Okay. So Lauren actually introduced us, or me, to them because they played at Punk Rock Bowling last year. And I remember her saying, there's this rad band that I saw at one of the club shows, and it was a two-piece female band. And I was like, two-piece female band? Like, I love two-piece bands. I just think that's amazing, like, that they can pull that off, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember her hearing about that, listening to them, thinking they were awesome. And then, of course, everyone knows Off With Their Heads is one of my favorite bands. So Ryan brought on Mobina Galore to some... to like an East Coast run that they were doing. So when I heard about that, I contacted the ladies in Mobina Galore and asked for an interview, and they were super easy to work with, like to schedule the interview. They came to my hotel, and I had to edit this interview because at one point in the middle I had ordered sushi for dinner to my hotel room, and it was late to arrive, and the girls arrived first.
Oh my god.
And so in the middle of the interview, there's a knock on the door, and it's my sushi.
And it's your sushi.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They were super sweet. And we talked, I think we mentioned this before, too, that I kind of pulled a Nicola on them. A half a Nicola.
Because, a half Nicola.
Yeah. Because we met in the lobby of the hotel I was staying at. And I was like, hey, nice to meet you, ladies. Do you mind coming up to my room? And we can record an interview up there. And they were like, okay. But they were super chill and easy to talk to and really, really sweet. So, there's two ladies in the band. Jenna is the singer, and guitar player. And then Marcia plays drums and also does some vocals. And so it's just the two of them and they work really nicely together. Because they were both in my room and I got to see them like kind of and interact with them on a personal level, you can tell that they're really good friends. Like they really care about each other and they work well together. And it's funny, in the interview you hear them like they kind of jab at each other a little bit a couple times.
Yeah.
Just like sisters. Yeah. Do, you know, they're like, yeah, she's super anal retentive and yeah, she, you know, does this. Yeah. Or whatever. And it's funny, but They started out, they had a different band. They met at a ski resort, too, in Canada. Did you know they're Canadian?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know this.
Yeah, they're Canadian.
This is very exciting.
Yeah, they grew up in Winnipeg.
Winnipeg is a good... Propagandies from Winnipeg.
Oh, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay.
And then they met at a ski resort. I forget the name of the ski resort. I think they mentioned it during the interview, but they were both there to probably as people do in their early 20s, just probably chill with other friends and snowboard. And
yeah.
And then there was a house, I think, that Jenna was staying at and had a music room in it. And Marcia had, you know, knew how to play the drums. And anyways, they had another person in their band and they started out with this other band, but then that didn't work out. And when they were just the two of them, they were like, let's try this. Like, let's try to do just the two of us. And their first album, they had other instrumentation on the album, right? Like, they had a bass and they, I think they had keys and all that kind of stuff. And then as they were touring for that album, fans were saying, wait, you're touring as a two-piece and you have this awesome sound live, but it sounds nothing like your album. And so then they decided to record as just a two-piece, like just record their two instruments. And so they have a kind of a new-ish LP out called Feeling Disconnected. It has 10 songs on it. They have a song called Vancouver that's kind of the hit song off that album. And it's really awesome. I highly recommend that you check them out. And they're just sweet, sweet girls. Like, and you know what's interesting, too, is we talk in this interview about being a female band. Like, do you advertise yourself as a female band? You know, because there's this controversy in the world of music about, are you just a good band? Like,
yeah.
You know, why say you're a female band? Like, why qualify it? You know, you're just a good band.
We've had the same identity crisis. That's a Mabel syndrome thing, too. Like, remember, we've talked for so long about, are we a female podcast? Do we promote ourselves as a female podcast? Or do we just promote ourselves as a podcast? And it's a tricky thing.
It is tricky. And you don't want it to be a qualifier, like they're good for a female band. Like,
yes, and so exactly.
And so I think, in my opinion, and you know, I think this is kind of what the girls were getting at too, is like, we are females. There's no getting around that. That's what we are. So of course we're going to advertise ourselves as a female band, but it doesn't add or take away from the music we put out. Like,
awesome.
You know,
such a good way of putting it.
Right. Like, it has no effect. We're not good for a female band. We just are a female band, and you either like us or you don't like us.
Yeah.
But then actually, you know, I was talking to Ryan Young at the bar later on the night after the show. So then after I did this interview with them, there was a show after, and I was talking to Ryan at the bar after, and I told him that I had met those ladies and how much I liked them and stuff. And he was like, yeah, I purposely brought them on because I don't want to put words in his mouth. He can speak to this himself, but if I remember correctly, he did say he purposely wants to bring more female bands on the road with him and promote more female musicians. And I think that's cool. Like, of course. And it's not that they're getting special treatment because they're female. It's that female bands generally are at a disadvantage anyways. And so bring good female bands on the road with you so that they can get the coverage and get the support and get their sound out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's very cool too, because often you get, like, everybody knows Kristen's in Boston, I'm in, you know, the West Coast, Canada, in a pretty small town, but you get to see so many more shows than I do. And I'm actually going to a show in March, Pennywise, Strung Out, and Mobina Galore's opening for those two bands. And I am beyond excited to connect with the girls and get to see them play live. So they're doing a bit of a Canadian tour. There's quite a few dates, actually. So all the Canadian listeners that we have, you guys need to check out Mobina Galore when they come through your town, because they're awesome. And Pennywise, Strung Out, that's a pretty solid lineup.
That is a really solid lineup. So get there early, right? And check out Mobina Galore. Yeah. You won't be disappointed. They're really awesome.
Cool.
So with no further ado, I guess we'll get to the interview. And as always, please subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us, and give us 5-star rating on iTunes. That helps us out quite a bit too. And also just word of mouth, like tell your friends about our podcast, because clearly we want to get on
Spotify.
What is
we want to get on Spotify.
Spotify, that's what it is. Yeah. See, I don't even have Spotify. Like,
it's as simple too, like, as you know, and this is the self-indulgent part of our podcast, but it's definitely it's definitely like when you have, like, when you see us post on Facebook or Instagram or any of those things, all you have to do is hit share.
Yeah.
Just hit share and it gets the word out, and it really helps us because we want to keep doing this. We want to keep having bands come on. We want to connect with more Red people. So thanks to everybody who's already done that and who continues to support us.
Yeah, we have awesome supporters, which is great. We just need more.
We just need more. Awesome. Okay, this is the interview with Mobina Galore, done by my beautiful co-Mabel Kristen. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Hey, this is Kristen with Mabel Syndrome, and I'm here with Jenna and Marcia of Mobina Galore. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Thanks so much for being part of our podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So do I have it right that do you live in Vancouver now?
We live in Winnipeg.
Oh, okay. You live in Winnipeg.
Yes, we live in Winnipeg.
Okay. Which is like in the middle.
Yes, it's in the middle. It's in Manitoba.
Yeah.
A little province called Manitoba. We lived in Vancouver for a short time, maybe only 10 months, about 6 years ago.
Oh.
But on our new album, we have a song called Vancouver, so everybody thinks we're from Vancouver.
Right.
But we're from Winnipeg.
Right. And is Winnipeg a ski town?
No, not even close.
No.
It's the farthest thing from a ski town you can get.
Yeah, right in the prairies. So we met in Fernie, which is a ski town.
Oh.
And that's in BC. But again, Canada is so gigantic.
Yeah.
Like, all directions, but east to west for sure. So, yeah, Fernie's in the mountains. That's where we met. And then we were in Vancouver for a bit. And then we moved back to Winnipeg, where she's originally from. And I'm originally from a totally different place.
Oh.
So it's very confusing.
Same. It is confusing. Where are you from?
I'm from Edmonton, which is also in the prairies.
Right.
But, like, far away from all those places because it's just so big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it hard to tour in Canada? Because you have to, like, drive 12 hours to get to the next venue probably, right?
Sometimes. Yeah, it can be hard. And I think especially with heavier music because there's a lot of, like, in the prairies, there's a lot of towns that you can stop in and they'll do, like, folk shows or, like, acoustic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as, like, a full band, there's not that many major cities that you can go play. So,
yeah,
a lot of the drives can be pretty annoying.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, once you do it a few times and you make the right connections, then you can schedule good days off to, like, you know, have fun in Vancouver for the night and then, like, drive somewhere.
And if you're Canadian, you're just so used to it.
I shouldn't say
Canadian because, like, if you're from Vancouver, I think they have their certain, you know, loop that they do. If you're from, like, Toronto, they have, like, just around Toronto that they do. So if you're from the middle of Canada, you're just used to it.
Yeah.
So it's all we've known other than when we tour Europe and when we tour the States, in which case we just feel spoiled. We're like, oh, my God, like, 3-hour drive everywhere for the next week.
Yeah.
We're like, which is what we're doing. It was just so great. And it seems so easy. But, yeah, we're just used to, like, our, you know, 6 hours to Regina and then 3 hours to Saskatoon and then however long to everywhere else. Like,
yeah.
You're just used to it.
That's
funny. I don't know. And there's something about the drive that's, like, comforting after a while.
Well, it's pretty up there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So you met at a ski town. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I thought that was Winnipeg. That's not.
No.
Okay. So what's a ski town? Is it in British Columbia?
Yeah. Yes. It's called Fernie. Fernie, BC is where British Columbia is where it is. Yeah. And it's just, like, this tiny little ski town. There's, like, 5,000 people there, maybe. In the summer, it gets... the population decreases quite a bit because you get a lot of tourists and stuff. And then some people end up staying. And we ended up being there for, like, 6 years. But then when we started playing more music, there's really only so much you can do being like, in this tiny little ski town. So, and they get so much snow in the winter that it's even, the worst thing you could do. Worst place you could live to tour because you're just constantly driving in and out of, like, crazy snowfalls. So.
Right. It's dangerous.
It's
a
little bit sketchy. Mm-hmm.
So did you each end up there on your own regard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Jenna had moved there three years before me, so I was only there for 3 years. She was there for 6. Yeah, we just both moved there to, like, just snowboard and hang out and, you know, try something new. And then we ended up meeting there through mutual friends.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna had a house with a whole jam space in it, like, just every instrument and a PA and microphones and everything. And I'd never seen anything like that before, like, in somebody's house, you know, where you could just, like, you know, dabble on this, dabble on that.
That's my sushi.
That's your sushi.
Hold on. So it's interesting that you guys, did you meet snowboarding? Were you guys both part of, like, the group that was snowboarding on the mountain?
No, you just, like, moving to Fernie really, like, is to go snowboard or ski or to party. And,
yeah.
Like, in your young 20s. So we both kind of just ended up there and had a mutual friend that introduced us, which led us to have even more mutual friends, just kind of the small world that it is and how it works with music as well. But then it was just friends of friends of friends, and we ended up just, jamming a lot, and then now we're here in Boston.
That's funny. It's funny because it reminds me, I went to college in Maine to be a snowboarder, to, like, go snowboarding, and it was the same thing, like, punk was a big part of the culture, and then everyone worked at the mountain too. So, like, we'd party all night, and then someone would have to get up early to, like, go tune skis or whatever it is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's fun. I don't know. I really enjoyed it, and I miss snowboarding. We live in the prairie, so there's nothing that you can snowboard or ski on, but I just love the culture of it. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's for people who are young at heart, I think. But it's been a long time since we've been snowboarding or been back there. And Mars didn't really get too much into snowboarding. She, like, went a couple times, but really it was just a fun place to live. So, but I went quite a bit and I miss it, but it's like, I don't know. It's just never going to be the same. Skiing?
Maybe you should take that up.
Ugh, that sounds so boring.
What, skiing?
Cross-country skiing.
Oh, I know.
That's what you can do that in Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's what you do in Winnipeg. You go from snowboarding and having, like, après-partiers to cross-country skiing. I don't see the transition, so.
Right. Cross-country skiing through the forest with my mom. Does it sound great to you?
Yeah.
Will she buy me drinks after? Probably.
At least one.
Yeah.
I'd rather everyone else go out skiing and snowboarding and I'll be at the house drinking and, like, making chili.
That's Marcia. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to whip up a batch of margaritas. I'm going to have all these snacks ready.
Totally.
We'll be ready for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Got to set the mood for, those hardworking riders.
Exactly. So that's funny. So, Jenna, I read that your brother introduced you to punk rock.
Yeah.
Like an older brother?
Yeah. He's 2-3 years older than me, but my cousin, who was a few years older than him, got him into it. So just sort of like our close enough age groups got us all into it sort of at the same time. And so my brother just made me, like, mix CDs that I actually still have in the van. Dan's punk mix that he made for me, like, whenever.
What's on it?
I think it starts with a full 10-foot pole album, and then there's The Smalls, I think Strung Out, Noise for a Name, Bad Religion, just, like, I don't know, a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
And so he kind of got me into it, and then from there it's almost like it's swapped now, and now he's kind of inspired by what I'm doing.
Yeah.
He got me into it, and he played guitar, so I was like, oh, I'll play guitar, sure. Kind of just, like, followed in his footsteps, and then now he comes out to our shows, and he's like, oh, God, like, it's so cool to see you up there, and like, what bands are you listening to now and stuff? So it's kind of funny how it kind of switches that way.
Well, it's cool because also it means he probably liked you growing up. I would think brothers would be like, fuck you, like, this is my punk rock, like,
don't hang out
with my friends or whatever.
He would sell us his hockey cards when we were kids and then steal them back, so he was he was still a big brother. But no, when it came to music, he was happy about it. He'd make me CDs all the time. But then from there, I just, like, it was almost like, okay, I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
And whatever, I can't even remember what some of the music websites or whatever that I was going to then were. Yeah. It's like, you type in, we're talking about Mill and Colin earlier, say he'd be like, Mill and Colin. And then be like, for fans of Mill and Colin, listen to, and then you get a list of 10 bands. And then from there, I'm like, okay, that sounds cool. And just, and then I took it kind of.
Yeah. What was it that really, like, struck a chord with you? What was it about punk rock that really inspired you?
I think that kind of, I've always, like, been a little bit of a brat, and Marcia can attest to this. And my mom just got married the other weekend.
Brat.
she was talking about it too when I was younger, like, in school. They'd have, like, parent-teacher things, and the teacher's like, Jenna's a little bit challenging. Like, she always, you know, she's a really good student, but she has to challenge everything that I say. And I'm like, that's what my school teachers told you? She's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, makes sense. And then I'm looking at Mars, and Mars is like, she still does that.
Yeah.
So I think it was just kind of like my own just, like, personality was just sort of in line with that DIY kind of thing. And, like, I don't know. I was a rule follower, but at the same time, like, I didn't really care. Mm-hmm. I just kind of did my own thing and paved my own path and knew that you needed to work hard to do whatever it is you wanted to do. And I think punk rock just kind of has that sort of, has that sort of ingrained in it. And then, of course, you meet I met a couple people in high school, and one guy specifically that was really into punk. And so it just kind of like you start meeting the right people. And then from there, you're like, yeah, cool. This is like a community that I feel
like it just feels right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, Marcia, how did you come across punk rock? How did that come into your life?
It wasn't as prominent for me growing up as it was Jenna. Nobody in my family listened to it or anything. I probably heard, my first punk rock album, it would have been, a Fat Records compilation when I was, 18, working at a coffee shop, and someone that I worked with was just loved it. So, you know, when we were closing up and everybody was gone, she would just, blast these, whatever she had. And I just remember the specific lead, this one, Fat Wreck compilation that, and I was like, oh, fuck, I really love this. And then, so she, you know, got a few CDs for me, and then that was, and then it just kind of, tapered off. I just didn't know, I had no one in my life that really, when I stopped working there, that listened to that kind of music or, would go to those kind of shows or anything. So I just didn't, until I moved to Fernie a few years later and met Jenna, and then, here we are.
And when did you start playing drums?
I kind of started when I was 16. My parents bought me a kit. I was bugging them forever.
Yeah.
Doing the old every time I'd see a table, I would just beat on it until so that they were okay, she's gonna take this seriously. I fooled them.
Right.
They bought me a kit and they got me some lessons, and I took, you know, a handful of lessons, and then I was you guys, I don't think I need lessons anymore. I'm pretty sure I could teach myself the rest of the way. But really, I just didn't want to do anything because I was a teenager, and I was too
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't have time in my life to go to these half hour lessons once a week. I don't have time for this. So, and then I just totally stopped playing. So, you know, I learned the basic, a basic beat there, and then just never played them for years until, again, I met Jenna. And then,
oh, wow.
And then she had that kit in her house, and I was you know what, Jenna, I think that I could play drums.
Yeah.
Because I had this lesson once.
The ugliest, just thinking of this kit.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the same thing, I want drums. And then, so my parents bought the three of us kids all a drum kit, but it was really just for me.
Yeah.
And there was this Westbury kit, which you don't even really see anywhere because they're super beginner. And the toms are just so big. It's comical to see pictures of our first couple of shows using that kit.
I know.
It was hilarious.
I can only imagine what they would have sounded like. It's hard to remember. So that would have been about eight years ago or so that we started jamming together. And
well, it's nice that both your parents bought you drum kits, though.
I know. Really great people. Really.
I have an almost 5-year-old who really wants a drum kit, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. I don't know. 13 or 14 when I started. Right. Probably the same as you when I started asking.
Yeah.
But both of our parents are extremely supportive of music, and I think that plays a huge role in it as well. And
none of them have any musical ability, but they all love music so much, every aspect of it. Yeah. So it's pretty convenient
For
us.
Yeah.
That they're not can you stop this bad thing? How long is this gonna last?
My mom brings it up every once in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Does your brother still play music?
He does a little bit, but he's a working guy, so he tells me he's jealous of me every once in a while. He's I wish that I could just take a year off of work and just go and just kind of, you know, play music and even just bring a guitar, go traveling. And so, but I think he's just not so much anymore.
And you guys are on the road a lot, I know, but do you have other jobs?
Kind of. A little more gray area for her.
Yeah.
I don't have I do freelance stuff. I do freelance design work, motion graphics and graphic design.
Uh-huh.
I do all of our band merch and all that kind of stuff. And then I do gig posters every once in a while. And then I do some freelance stuff for this one company in Winnipeg. So I just finished a project and then just got another one, just these little Christmas things. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple stuff, but it's a couple $100 here and there that I can do on the road, which is key. And then Mars worked, not sure, at a breakfast restaurant in Winnipeg. And they gave her all the time off she's ever needed. They still are giving her time off since May, I think it is.
Oh, wow.
Well, so I think I left for tour in April or something, and I said I'd call them in June, and now it's December. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think I don't know if
hard
I burned that bridge. Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
But it's if she's a really good server, so when you need a good waitress, and then say she comes back and is hey, does anyone want me to cover your shifts over Christmas?
Sure.
Every new staff that probably works that you don't know is gonna be like, hands up, yes, take my.
I don't want to work over Christmas.
But then,
so now you're like gonna be picky about it.
Yeah, totally.
Like we've managed that we don't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, who's gonna? We're unhireable people, essentially.
Right.
Is the reality of it.
Yeah, I never know how bands do it. Really,
it's super tough.
Yeah,
it's super tough. You really have to luck out with exactly the right kind of employers or job, like Jenna, like how she can just like work from her computer wherever we are,
or do your own thing, or figure something out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or just try to stay on the road as much as possible.
Right.
Which is kind of like, Jenna does all the booking and stuff for our band, so I'm always waiting around like, so anything come in yet? Like, can I, like, how much longer can I put off this work thing?
Right.
Anything coming in for January?
We'll get something.
All right.
So your first band was Arcade Files.
Oh my God.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And you did have a keyboard player for that one.
Yeah.
And then when she left, you guys just decided to be a two-piece.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Was that a tough decision?
No, I mean, I think it was the easiest decision because we didn't know anyone else who wanted to play. So it was like, it went from just like, well, if we want to keep playing music, we have to just do it, the two of us, and figure it out. We were open to like finding somebody else, like a bass player or another guitar player or whatever. But like, it just never happened. Mm. And then,
and I think maybe around that time too, we were wanting to like maybe relocate, which is when we ended up moving to Vancouver. Mm. So I think we just kind of, sort of unintentionally became just this like two-piece unit in a sense.
Yeah.
And not that we were opposed to anything else coming along, but we were just like, I don't know, we just kind of took some of those older songs where I was playing mostly acoustic guitar. It was more like folky poppy kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it was at that point where I was like, fuck it, like I'm gonna get the electric guitar rocking again. And I didn't even have one at the time. I just borrowed my roommates. And we're like, let's just get more into punk, like screw sort of like the pop acoustic kind of stuff, and let's just go in another direction. So then we just kind of kept moving forward as two people, and opportunities that we wanted never come up. People are always like, oh, if you ever need a bass player, and I was like, now I just say like, I will add you to my list of people that I will never call.
Right.
Because there would be like 100 people on there right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of just drunk dudes at flowers.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or like actual people that are like, oh, I wish that we lived in the same city. Like, I would love to be in your band. Not that we asked you to be in our band, but like it happens, right?
Yeah.
So of course it's flattering, but it's been fun and it's different and...
Yeah.
And... Now,
and at this point, it would be way more difficult to have a third member because, like, you're just so used to it, right? Like, we've been doing this pretty seriously for like 5 years or so. So it's like, to add a third person, I'm like, where do they sit in the van?
There's no space. You're like, I have this room.
I need exactly. So that I can put this one back.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yeah, working around another personality and, like, working around somebody else's schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know. When we don't really have schedules, like, we need to find somebody that's just, like, doesn't have a job. And then, I don't know.
I'm always fascinated by bands. I mean, you guys have been around for a long time, but bands that make it 25 or 30 years or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And I've interviewed some of them recently, and I'm just like, how the personalities, like, don't you fight all the time?
Totally.
Like, if I was touring with my sister, I would fucking murder her. Like, I can't imagine it.
Yeah. I mean, like, you have your ups and downs. You try your best to communicate when you're feeling like being alone.
Yeah.
That's the key, is to, like, not push that. Like, if you're just feeling irritable or, like, you just need some alone time, just, like, make it happen and don't be like, oh, maybe it'll be fine. Let's just, like, continue to hang out all the time.
Right.
And then you're going to explode at the person. So
yeah.
It's, like, it's just about knowing when that time.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Is. And you know each other's buttons. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That makes sometimes sense. We like to push them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Some of us more than others.
It's clearly not Jenna, based on what I described myself with earlier.
And how do you feel about being a female punk rock band, right? Like, it's such this weird thing, and I've talked with other female punk rock bands about it, and it's like, on one hand, you just want to be a punk band. You just want to be like, no, we're a punk band. We are on par with every other punk band, and we're just a band, and we're just awesome, and that's great. But on the other hand, you're like, no, we're women, and we want to own it,
right?
You know? And do you feel that push and pull, kind of? Like, or where do you stand on that?
Yeah, it's like, obviously, a topic of discussion that comes up often, and I, for me, and I don't know if I can kind of speak on behalf of both of us, but it's like, it really is all we know. So I don't know what it's like to be a dude in a punk band, or to be a journalist of like either or any sex who's interviewing and asking these questions, but it's I think it's great. Like, I sell it as that, and that some women get really upset about that. They're like, you can't, like, you see these discussions on Facebook and Twitter, which is why, like, we try not to even go on social media anymore, because it's just like, just have the conversation in real life. Don't just bitch to strangers online about it. But, like, don't say female fronted. It's like, when women will say this, I'm like, why not? Like, I sell it as that, because there's venues, there's festivals and stuff that have nowadays, which is great. They have, like, quotas that it's like, we need to diversify our crowds.
Right.
Or our bands and stuff that we're bringing in. So if you tell them that you're a female band and it's going to help, why not?
Yeah.
Like, we have that opportunity right now. I think that it's like,
not to mention, make it hopefully, like, a show seem more welcoming for women who want to get out to a show. Cause it just might, like, I would be more inclined if I was walking past a show poster, like, if I saw, like, a woman was in the band, or, you know, if it said, like, the description, like, female fronted, I would be more inclined to go to that show just because I would think, oh, this is going to be a safer space than you, or at least it's not going to be 100% men in this space.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I don't think a lot of men even think about. And it's not that they're trying to make a space seem unsafe or whatever. It's just how it is. Like, it's just like very, like, you can tell the difference as a woman when you walk into a space that has, like, so much testosterone in it. Like, you can tell the difference when it's, like, more even keeled and when half of the space is women. It's like, it's just, like, a little more mellow. The whole night is just a little more, like, easy to me.
Like, we love showing up to shows. And if there's, like, a female sound tech, or there's just a girl in there doing something, and I'm doing, like, anything, awesome. Yeah. Like, this is great. Bartenders or, like, just anything. It's just the best. We were somewhere the other night, and we stayed at this person's place, and they're with their... and their wife was there as well, and we got in conversation with her, and I didn't even realize it until halfway through. Mars and I just were like, we'd just been surrounded by men for, like, the last 5-6 days straight.
Yeah.
Like, so many dudes. And then we got in a conversation just for, like, 5 minutes with this girl, and I was like, whoa, I didn't realize how excited I was. Right. Like, I was gonna be to just
how
have
much
a conversation.
You just, like, craved to be around another woman.
Didn't even realize it until, like, later on or the next day, and I was like, whoa, we both, like, really perked up there.
Yeah. Right.
Just, you need it in your lives.
Yeah.
And it's just so many.
Well, I feel the same way. Like, I get inspired and excited when I meet another punk rock woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I do tend to gravitate to men. I mean, I'm just kind of like, I've always been like a guy's girl or whatever that is, right? Like, always just kind of part of the boys group. But but it's really fun when you meet another girl that has that same kind of vibe, and you're like, oh, like, they just get it.
Yeah, right.
And another thing that I try and, because sometimes when these questions get asked, it's like they're wanting you to speak negatively about stuff, which we try not to do. So the one thing that I always think of when we have this discussion is inspiring younger women, and like the Against Me run that we did in the UK and Europe, and then some dates in North America. We had people come up to us that were like just so excited to see us play, and so excited to see Laura Jane Grace play. And this one person ended up commenting on a YouTube video of ours that was, they were like 14 years old or something. They're like, me and my friends just started a band because of you. We saw you open up for Against Me, and like stuff like that happens. It's like, that's what I, that's how I try to think of it as a positive thing.
Yeah.
Regardless of all the politics and all the, all that kind of stuff that gets involved, that becomes inevitably involved in the conversation. For me, it's nice to think about just that, of what you're doing for the people who are listening to your music.
Right. Yeah. Does the bad stuff get you down, though, or does it fire you up?
Oh, it fires me up for sure, yeah. I'm like, fuck you guys. It's good. Like, I don't care. I don't care whatsoever. Maybe it used to bug us a little bit more, but now I honestly couldn't care less if whatever.
That's
if
awesome.
People are annoying me, it's just leave me alone kind of thing, you know? Like, go have this conversation with somebody else if you...
Yeah.
want to start like mansplaining my gear to me and whatever,
right?
Which happens, so but no, it for sure, it's like, makes you want to just keep going even more, right?
Yeah, well, that's good advice for younger women or any women in general, too. Because when Jessica and I started Mabel Syndrome, we were both like, shit, like, we both kind of have thin skin, so what's gonna happen, you know? Right. Like, something negative's gonna come up or whatever, and thankfully it took a while. We've gotten plenty of negative stuff by now, but we were talking with Brenna Red of The Last Gang the other night, and she was like, I fucking love it. I love it when someone like gives me shit or calls me like, I don't know, fat punk rock girl or something. Right. She's like, I fucking love it. And I'm just like, that's awesome. Like, I need to hear more of that. Yeah. You know?
I know. I kind of have thin skin too. I used to find it difficult. And now, well, part of it is just like not reading stuff about yourself and like not reading reviews and stuff like that. Cause ultimately if you're happy with it, then great. And if not, then, you know, you try to do better next time. You really don't need to read Joe Schmo's opinion about what you're doing.
Uh-huh. Right.
So it's all about like the self-control and cause you have control over your own life. You have control over what you see and well, for the most part, and what you hear and stuff. I mean, unless it's Donald Trump. He's everywhere.
Aren't you guys glad you don't have Donald Trump?
Yeah, it's insane. But I mean, like we're so like involved in the politics. Like he's all over the news in Canada too. Just, I mean, our countries are so close, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, Jessica was telling me, like, she was watching the election night coverage. Yeah. I couldn't because I was so pissed off, but she was like, I'm watching it in tears and she's in Canada. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I had no idea it had that much effect on you guys.
We all thought there's no way he's going to win. Hillary's going to win by a landslide. So let's watch this asshole lose.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he won and then it got really upsetting.
Yeah.
It really, for sure. It really did deter him. Crying. Yeah, then and everyone's
and
still crying.
Probably wrote a bunch of songs. Yeah. I actually remember seeing some articles pop up about it. It's like, 2017, 2018, we're going to have some real good
ultimate punk songs. Albums. Yeah, totally.
I know.
Just like, yeah. So I'm sure that's been the case or will still be the case in the next couple of years.
Yeah. So the new album's doing really well. And you guys decided to strip it down for this one, like just do guitar and drums.
Yeah. That was kind of a decision based off of touring a bunch between the new record and our previous record in 2014. Because people liked our last one, Cities Away, but they would always ask, like, oh, are you going to do a live album? And this and that. And so we're like, well, we'll just translate that more in the studio next time we go in.
Yeah.
And the producer is the same producer on both records, but they both sonically sound very different. Mm-hmm. And even like gear and stuff like that was very different. But he was on board right away. We're like, okay, we're just doing it us, like no bass, no overdubs, just go in and do it. And so that's what we did. He was stoked. And it still took us seemingly forever. It's like even to just...
I think it's because you guys, you and JP, like, go crazy with the, you know, fine-tuning of tones.
Let's have
fine-tuning
not
me. Tones. So it took him just so long to get it right, because, you know, he was like, well, if it's only going to be guitar, then the guitar better be exactly perfect.
Right.
Now, you're right. We wasted a lot of time.
And you're like, you're like, I did my drum part 10 hours ago. Like, can I go
I just
home
watch
now?
Netflix, like, the whole time. I'm like, call me if you need me.
Right.
They never need me.
What's your favorite song on the new album?
I have a couple. I really love Start All Over, which I think is the first song on the album. I really like Spend My Day.
Yeah, I like Spend My Day.
But it kind of changes all the time. You know, like you have a favorite and you're like, that's your favorite to play for a while. Right. And then you kind of get like maybe played out of it. And then you'll be like, actually, I like this song now. Like this is my new favorite. So it's like, you know, when you're playing the songs all the time.
Forgetting what's even on it. I'm just like picturing our set list, which is half of Cities Away songs. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what's even on there? Yeah, I like Spend My Days. One of my favorite. Start All Over is one of both of our favorites. Mm-hmm. But then playing it live is like people don't seem to grasp it as much as.
It definitely doesn't seem to be a fan favorite, but it's an us favorite. So.
So you play it anyway.
We play it anyway. Yeah.
I've been liking Ready to Let Go. Like,
yeah, I love that one. I love that one. Yeah. Yeah.
People like Vancouver. Vancouver is a fun one to play too.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had our label New Damage Records do some stuff on us on Spotify for us, Going Out Alone ended up being the song that's like, if you go to Spotify, it's got like tons of plays, and everything else is a lot less, and because that one gets added to playlists, it's on like a Canadian rock playlist and some punk playlist, and I'm like, I wonder why that one, because that was like not, that was like,
it's like such a filler for us,
right? Yeah, it was like a filler song.
It didn't stand out, but New Damage loved it, and now it's like has all the plays, and we're like, this is weird.
Yeah, all the time people
it's never
like
what
it.
You think.
Well, bands. Yeah, I've heard that from other bands too. Yeah. Like Face to Face was just telling us that Disconnected was the song that they were just like, like whatever. Right. And it's like everyone's favorite song. Yeah. So that seems to happen.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird. What is the writing process? Do you write together, or do you come with some stuff and you come with some stuff? And
yeah, it's kind of everything. We do like a lot of songs just in a bunch of different ways. Sometimes sometimes we'll just like get in the jam space and, you know, we'll just be like, okay, let's just like one of us do something, like either like start playing a beat, Marcia, but usually it's Jenna, like I'm like, hey, just play anything on the guitar, like fiddle like something on the guitar, and then we'll just like work a melody kind of out, and then either like one of us will come with lyrics. It honestly happens in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I'll work on some stuff I play very basic guitar, and then I write a lot of lyrics, and then I'll like come to Jenna and be like, hey, like, do you like this song? I kind of like it. And then she'll kind of rework it so that she can sing it, or like make it a more interesting melody or more interesting guitar, just because I have such basic knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. Or she'll just like write a complete song front to finish, and then be like, do the drums like this. And I'm like, don't tell me what to do. This is the last thing I have.
That's usually when we get in arguments.
Yeah.
Is when I like,
tell her what to do.
Start to finish, and I hear it. I want to call it
micromanaging, but it's right. Exactly the definition of micromanaging.
Yeah.
I'm challenging to be around, aren't I?
It's challenging. She challenges.
And do you write on the road? Are you constantly like making notes at your phone and stuff?
Marcia is.
Yeah.
I kind of do, but not really. I need to be at home and like, because when I'm on tour, I'm just kind of in more like business mode essentially. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm home, it's like, cool. I can just like sit in the jam room, mm-hmm. pick up my acoustic or just like jam electric. And that's when something will come to me. But Mars is like just, oh yeah, notes and notes and notes and notes, which is great. Less work for me.
It's great until I lose my notes because I don't know how to work technology.
Yeah.
Like a few weeks ago, like I just, 2 months of them got deleted and I was like,
oh no.
It was like just the worst. But I just write down like anything. I'm always writing stuff. So it's like, now I don't even know what I lost. I'm like, oh fuck. Good thing, like,
yeah,
I need to weed some of this shit out. it's mostly shit anyway, though. So it really doesn't
be a good
matter.
Line in there, a little spark,
yeah.
A chorus,
yeah, exactly,
right,
yeah.
And I heard you guys say like Malbina Galore was just kind of a random name,
mm-hmm.
and that it's cool because when you Google it, nothing else comes up, right?
Exactly.
But have you actually Googled Malbina? Like, do you know the definition of that word?
Well, we know that it's a name.
Yeah, it's a woman's name. In is it Persian? Is that
maybe
Arabic?
Yeah.
And so, it's kind of convenient that it just happens to be a woman's name,
right?
Because the first person that popped up was this lady out in British Columbia in Vancouver or something, Mobina Jaffer. She's like she's like an NDP. I don't know. She's something in politics.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And this was like quite a few years ago, so I don't know if she still is. And I was like, oh, there's somebody named Mobina. And we get tagged in all sorts of photos that aren't us online and stuff like that. And we'll get messages and stuff from people in a language that I don't understand that doesn't have just like the North American alphabet. And so, yeah, that's... I don't know too much about it other than it's
that's funny.
A name.
When I actually looked, the definition I found was a cute girl that has long blonde hair with beautiful eyes.
What? That's
so funny. Is that random?
That's awesome.
You hadn't heard that one?
No, I didn't know there was an actual definition for that one.
I know, but I think it's so funny that it's like long blonde hair.
Big beautiful eyes?
With beautiful eyes.
Oh my God.
Describes both of us. A cute girl.
How did you do?
Thank
you.
That's why you picked it, I'm sure. And then I also heard you mention once in an interview about Taco Time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm obsessed, too.
It's like...
So I grew up in Seattle,
pleasures. Yeah.
And we don't have it here, and I miss it so much. So whenever I go back home, I get it.
Yeah, I worked at this restaurant for a long time in Winnipeg in a mall and across, and I was like a hostess at first, and so I would like stand at the hostess station and like my view was Taco Time, so I'd just like stare at it, be like, what should I get for lunch today, and like think about it. The tater tots are my jam.
Oh my god,
tater tots are hard to find in Canada, like unless you get unless you're at the grocery store, but like if you're at a bar, I find that they're in every single bar in America, just everywhere.
They're kind of hot right now.
They're pretty hot. They're hot to tot. They're definitely not in Canada. They're like, so you know, Taco Time.
Yeah.
And the hot sauce. They have the best hot sauce.
Oh, I'm
you get,
not
like,
a
the,
hot sauce
the
person.
The Diablo
but...
one.
Oh, okay.
It's like the crazy spicy one. Oh. It's like brown and green, so spicy. It's like really ugly looking. And
you can see how ugly, excited she gets.
I know, me too.
I love food.
Yeah, and so I heard you talk about Taco Time, and I was like, yes, I love Taco Time.
Yeah.
And then we always finish our. That. I know. Yeah, we have something in common. We always finish our interviews with who are your favorite punk rock women? Like, who are punk rock women in the scene right now? Like, killing it.
Right. Well, Brody Doll is a big one. Mm-hmm. She, you know, is
always
just
yeah.
a huge crush and influence for both of us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, name somebody. Laura Jean Grace. We just are obsessed with her and, like, went on tour with Against Me, and she's just so great and accommodating and lovely, and that whole band is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit,
I'm so bad at seeking out new music because we mm-hmm. hear, like, 3 or 4 bands a night.
Right.
That I can, like, not listen to any... People be like, oh, have you listened to this band? And I'm like, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't yet. Because when we go in the van and we listen to music, it's pretty chill music or, like, pop music because all we're listening to is...
Yeah, you don't want to listen to that all day and all night.
Exactly.
And so,
your ears need a bit of a break.
Yeah, I have to admit, there's, like... there's not a ton of, like, new punk bands that I've been listening to.
Mm.
And... I'd say 90% of the bands that we play with are all men. So mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know. I feel like I should have an answer to this question, but
maybe
I don't really.
It's like meaningful that you don't. Right? Like,
like we've been, there's
maybe it just means that we need way more women in punk rock.
Totally.
So that we could just stop.
Yeah. Or you should tour with more, but you know, but just, but touring with Against Me, that, I mean, that's huge. That must have been awesome.
Yeah.
And then also you can pick the song for the end of the episode. So obviously a song.
Like any song in the
world? Any song in the whole world. But I recommend Mobina Glore because I heard they're awesome. I don't know.
I wrote some Arcade Files.
Oh my God.
Just kidding.
Yes.
Any ideas?
Yes. No. Don't. That's nothing. Don't look it up.
Just kidding.
Like, do you want a Mobina song? Or
yeah, sure.
Else? Okay, let's just play Mobina songs.
Yeah.
Let's do... Which song? Start All Over, the first track on the new
Our
record.
Favorite. It won't be your favorite. But it's ours.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. This was fun.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Replaced by anyone else. This is way too fucking hard to